Hello, my name is Brian Ivashelsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we are joined by Mark Garofoli, Clinical Associate Professor at the West Virginia University School of Pharmacy. He is also a certified pain educator, host of the Pharmacy Podcast Network's Pain Pod, and a common contributor to Drug Topics content. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, pleasure to be here, Brian. As always, your entire team is always good to hang out with, and appreciate the plug there for the Pain Pod on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Here today for our conversation, lots of overlap with things that we talk about within pain management in general. So, very happy to be here. As pain guy, as some have come to say.
Today, specifically, we're going to be discussing over-the-counter products and medications used to be treating pain. So, Mark, to start us off today, in your experience as a pharmacist, what are the most common and effective over-the-counter medications that have been used to treat acute pain?
So, when it comes to the OTCs, the over-the-counter pain management options, we really do have a decent amount of them. And individual scenario is going to come down to what a patient has going on and also what's, and hey, by the way, as healthcare professionals, we're patients too, right? So whatever's in our head, we have those biases based on direct-to-consumer advertising, word of mouth, you name it. So, you think about the average, usually we're talking about a pharmacy, but it could also be a grocery store, convenience store, gas station, dollar store of whatever type. Side note, not a dollar anymore, right? But we have that analgesics aisle. And we think of, most folks, if not all, don't really think about this, but analgesia, like, wait, where'd that come from? The name, it just rolls off the tongue now after like a century of experience, but it's derived from Greek to mean without pain. So we literally put out in the aisle a sign that says without pain, like making that the goal. So we got to keep that in mind with folks too, of is that the goal? We certainly want to be compassionate here, but is it always the goal is a really good conversation question, of course. But we're thinking about what people are looking for. It's typically the pill formulations. We over the counter NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, are most common being ibuprofen, naproxen, and of course aspirin in there as well too. And then acetaminophen, or as the entire rest of the world calls it, paracetamol. Good golly. It's like the metric system, but with a pain medicine. We're the only ones. We drive our own truck here in that regard. But those are a lot of the common ones. Topicals. It seems like a new frontier. Takes up a lot of the aisles, right? Lots of options out there. And boy, it gets confusing really quick because it's like, which one? When there's 15 different versions. Maybe 10. I don't want to be extreme, but of each individual product. So, at least in our society, our culture, it's typically the pill formulations, but our horizons are expanding these days.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a great overview kind of what you typically see. I'm glad that you kind of mentioned the marketing and the promotion, because I feel like with over the counter in pharmacies and in storefronts, and that promotion kind of goes hand in hand. Cool. So what are the most notable trends that you see in patient preferences for specific over the counter pain relief products? So what are patients typically gravitating towards?
So, I alluded to the idea of typically go to the pill formulations. It's sometimes liquid as well, too. It depends on the scenario. When our kiddos are in pain or having fevers, oh my goodness, it's like we make it calc 3 for dosing and we don't even put it on the label. There's that. But as far as trends overall, you have pill formulations, oral formulations. But then, there's a growing trend. And this is observational, don't necessarily have a study. They're out there, but to say, oh, what about topical formulations? It's growing. That being said, are we catching up with the rest of the planet? I mean, when you go to a different continent, not necessarily just outside of our country, but go to a different continent, it's a very different landscape. The preference, the trends in many other continents, high percentage would be topical first. Is that right, wrong? It depends on the scenario, of course, too. But we're starting to see some of that shift overall because there's more education. Yes, there's more marketing out there too, but there's more education as to, how to go about pain management when I, as the patient, are in charge over the counter, right? I think it would remains to be said, of course. Cannabis and CBD, everything these days on the tips of everyone's tongue. So topical CBD seems to be a thing. We've had some interesting recent articles with that. Probably one of the most in our faces titles and headlines I've seen. I think it was about 2 years ago. Don't quote me on that one. Where a study came out and literally the title was like, "Hey, topical CBD, not really working out for pain." And but boy, that catches headlines. It's like the media didn't even have to change the headline. The title was right there. Again, that's one study. There's many others. So we gotta stop that insanity of going by one study unless it's quite the profound one. So those are some of the big picture trends overall, I'd say.
Awesome. Cool. So, kind of moving to kind of where you fit into all this. So, from much of the general public's perspective, the use of OTC products is a relatively individual experience where patients will purchase drugs without consulting healthcare professionals, kind of just go into the pharmacy and get what they need. Can you talk about the importance of pharmacist counseling for patients using OTC products to treat pain specifically?
Paramount. There's that age old, you go to a butcher for steak, you go to a pharmacist for, well, anything else, I guess, but primarily medication advice, right? We're a wealth of knowledge. We are a very trusted profession, top five, top 10. It ebbs and flows every year. But that being said, there's an access concern too. We even within pharmacy, and I'm, pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, admin, everybody, the whole team, right? And the interprofessional healthcare team. We also have to realize that, life happens Saturday night too. So if the pharmacy's closed, over-the-counter products are out there and they're available. Again, I already went over the settings earlier there of, not just a pharmacy, but grocery stores, gas stations, dollar store, all, the whole gang, right? Our whole, retail enterprise overall. So that, Saturday night, if you're in pain and pharmacy's closed, we need the access, right? Now, the 16-year-old or the 40-year-old that's the cashier, not really typically qualified to provide any education. So then somebody's getting a product, they have access, but they don't have education. That's always a concern. And that transcends, actually, I was going to say outside of pharmacy, but outside of healthcare. I could buy anything, right? I could go and buy a pair of shoes online, and gosh, if I don't like the color, even though I picked it, I picked the wrong size, I could return it and I won't even have to pay shipping. Welcome to our world, right? But what if I, buy a cheaper shoe and it's not the right one, and then I go run a lot, and then I get calluses, and then I get all this pain, and it could have all been prevented if I talked to the person that knows more about shoes, right? So it goes farther than, just our having our ball caps on. Big baseball fan, by the way. We just big picture. It's always important to get more information. I'm a huge fan of the idea, I think, like most, to make an informed decision, you need information. The more information you have, the more of an informed decision you make. That's not something the philosophers said back in Roman times. It's just a reality, right? So it is paramount to get that patient counseling, that education, even a tidbit or two along the way, right?
Definitely. Awesome. So basically, can you discuss some of the common misconceptions that patients may have about over-the-counter products?
Absolutely. So our human minds, present self included, I hope, right? We silo things, we package things. There's this perception, perhaps misperception out there, of, oh, well, it's OTC, so that's not the good stuff, right? And please put a comma there in your head, not a period, in that, oh, well, it's just OTC, so that's got to be safe. Doesn't matter if somebody takes 50 times the dose of it, right? And again, being facetious or whatever here, but, or, oh yeah, that's not going to really work as well as the good stuff behind the counter, with the prescriptions or even the, dare we say, illicit or illegal items as well too. So it's on both sides of the spectrum is what I'm getting at there. We talked to this actually in great length, one or two episodes on my pain pod on the Pharmacy Podcast Network of OTC selections overall, and then topicals there as well along the way. But, misperceptions in a nutshell, it's the idea of like, oh, we don't really have to worry about safety because, well, they made it over the counter. False. All caps, bold, huge font, pick a color, throw some italics if you want to on that font. And also the, beyond the safety side, it's the efficacy side as well too, but, oh, we don't have to worry about safety. We don't have to worry about efficacy. Absolutely. Not to mention, piggybacking to the last question you had there, Brian, of like, what are concerns overall, and talking to pharmacists, for our vast amount of information when it comes to OTC pain meds, it's the different scenarios that matter. As a population, these medications have been deemed generally safe, but we're all different. Age comes into play, medical conditions, drug interactions, of course. Everyone walking into any retail establishment to buy an OTC pain medicine is a different experience. And that's really where it comes into play of, trying to personalize it to everyone along the way and really end up with the best patient care possible. We want our cake and eat it too.
For sure. Yeah. It's good to mention those kind of unique instances. Obviously, it's something you want to kind of save the world and put everything into one bucket. But that's at the end of the day, that's how patient populations are. Awesome. So I have one more question, then kind of wanted to add an add-on question after, but back to the last question for what you think patients should know when it comes to treating pain with OTC products. What is one thing that you really do think patients should kind of take away from the education side of things?
Ooh, the huge takeaway, that's always the tough one. I think really doubling down on what I was just talking about, and money, many, not all of us pharmacists really say of the, never presume. We certainly don't want to assume. I mean, we've been there. I think we figured that one out, but never presume safety no matter what, and never presume that this is the right one for you. Again, it's generally safe and effective for the general population, but we're all different in different scenarios. And we have to know our limits just as patients, as consumers, as guests overall of the knowing our limits really of if you've got an open wound and there's blood, we're going to need a little bit more hands on deck to help with that. Yet we as I've experienced it community pharmacy times. Patient presents to the counter and there's blood leaking on the counter from the arm. And it's like, whoa, like we're going to need a little bit more teamwork on that one, right? So, knowing our limits along the way and then knowing our options. It's, based on what we talked about earlier, there it's not just the oral formulations, it's not just pills, liquids. We do have topical options as well, too. And, read labels, number one. It sounds so simple, but knowing our limits, reading the labels, and knowing when to ask help, which is always, right? If available. The pediatric side of things, it gets, I'm a parent. My wife and I have two boys. I mentioned, oh, Pain Guy, check out the website, folks, painguy.us, right? But even as Pain Guy, reading a label for a newborn or a one-year-old, oh my goodness. And I'm one, like many pharmacists, that have the answers in our head. How do you dose this thing? By the way, it's 2 a.m. It's dark. There's a poopy diaper, and you're trying to dose a liquid that, like, oh, they luckily gave you an oral syringe. You're not using some barbaric thing that we call a teaspoon. Oh my gosh, that's as bad as baby aspirin in a medicine cabinet. Sorry for the language, folks. Those are bad words where I come from, but it's really tough to do that when you're in the moment. And that's us as pharmacists with training. So think about it without the training, right? And all the knowledge along the way. So knowing our limits, educating ourselves, reading the labels, and reaching out, always having us pharmacists along, for the ride. It never hurts to take an extra 2 seconds and just ask, like, hey, what should I know? How do I not hurt myself with this thing when you're looking for pain management in the first place, by the way?
For sure. Yeah, I think that was a great way to cap off the importance, the moral of kind of seeking OTC products as a patient. I kind of just wanted to ask one more question. We're going to pivot kind of a lot here, but I really just wanted to get your perspective and your opinion. Basically, can you summarize everything that's been happening recently? There's hasn't been a lot of new prescription pain meds. How has over-the-counter pain medications changed since this ongoing? Obviously, there's a lot to unpack with the opioid epidemic and all of that, but kind of what's your perspective with
Well, I'll start in asking the 8-hour answer question, but I'll spare our audience here. So, we're making huge strides in the overall opioid crisis. There's less lost heartbeats over the last year or two. We're seeing that. It's still a lot, and we got a lot more to do. And it's not just healthcare, it's the overall society and system. But when we clamp down on things like, wait for it, prescription opioids. Oh my goodness. He went there. Isn't this supposed to be about OTCs? Well, guess what? Like 150 years ago, you get heroin because you were coughing on a Saturday afternoon. So, yeah, at some point it was OTC, kind of, maybe. But I once had a colleague that was questioning me, and we're friends, we're still friends. And I wanted to do a research project involving, get this, over-the-counter pain medications. And she was like, very renowned cross-country expert person. She's like, Mark, what are you up to? Like, there's an opioid crisis going on. You want to study like what people know about acetaminophen? I'm like, well, 50,000 people a year enter the ER with an acetaminophen overdose. I see some opportunities there, and I'm sure others would agree along the way. And that really goes back to what you were asking about, Brian, of the like, What's the big things to keep in mind? All of us pharmacists have had those scenarios where people may have taken, well, a little bit too much. And we catch it, we help, we educate, we just talk through of like, hey, there is a limit here. I hope not many have had the scenario. Like I had once where a gentleman presented to the pharmacy and had after a couple questions to him, he had replied that, yeah, he took like about five dozen acetaminophen pills. And you're like, whoa, is it the regular strength or extra strength? Yeah, let's not worry about that. In fact, don't even use a calculator. That's an overdose, right? And some might think it's kind of judgy, but how does someone do that? It was actually one of my questions after he came back after being in the hospital and being taken care of and all that. And I was like, I just want to know like physically how, not why. It's very logical. Hey, it's not working, take more. The old potato chip commercials, like, oh, you're not full, eat another one. Well, that's not the same with medicine, obviously. But when we balance everything going on in the world, yes, there's still an opioid crisis out there. It's evolving, but there's things of concern when it comes to over-the-counter pain medicines too. Whether it's acetaminophen, whether it's NSAIDs, and folks with GI history, tummy problems, or a cardio history, the tickers have got some concerns going on too. There's a lot to unpackage, and we want to have the team there, and that's talking with the pharmacist overall. So I hope that somewhat answered your huge question there.
No, definitely. And I'm sorry to tack that on at the end, but it's definitely important. And obviously, you kind of have your thumb on the pulse.
Hey, there's many other voices out there. Never listen to one person. I guess you're already listening here. There's two of us. Hey, there's two of us, right?
There we go. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time today. I think this has been a great discussion on kind of where everything is right now and where it's going.
You're welcome. And I hope this spurs, gosh, if all the pharmacists that are going to listen to this, hopefully, right? But even if one person just randomly on the next day at work is like, you know what, let me talk a little bit longer to that person. And then it is a guarantee. It's math. It's not guessing that it will help a patient somewhere across our country. So hopefully we multiply that, with a couple extra zeros too. So thank you very much, Brian. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Mark. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks. Thank you.